Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Good evening and welcome to the Coco Express Show for Wednesday, February 5th, 2014. I am super excited to be here today. I mean, it is just an amazing time for us here at the Coco Express Show Network because it is Relationship Remedies time and they have a topic to discuss today, and I think I should just sit down and take notes because I'm not very well versed at this particular subject matter, even though I've experienced it. And we have an amazing crew. We have Dr. Linda, we have Hank, and we have a special guest, Doug. So they're all going to be talking about a subject matter that is very interesting, unique, and it has a share of complexities like none other. So please allow me the opportunity to switch on over to Relationship Remedies for Us.
It's about me. It's about you. It's about us. It's about Relationship Remedies with Dr. Linda Owens-Wiley and Hank Smith. Join us.
Hey, peace and blessings. I'm Dr. Linda Wiley. Welcome to Relationship Remedies for Us. This is the place where we discuss hot topics related to relationships. So bring us your questions, concerns, your comments, and, of course, your open mind, because we're all about healthy relationships. Because this is the month of February, we decided that one of the things we would do would be talk about love. You cannot get through February without talking about love. Because of Valentine's Day, clearly, this is the month of love, so we want to do that. And we're going to flip the script a little bit because normally when you talk about Valentine's Day, the focus is on women. Now, I'm not complaining, and I'm not trying to take the focus off of my sisters out there, but normally it's the woman who gets the gift, she gets the flowers, the candy, taken out to dinner or the romantic concert. And brothers, if you haven't been thinking, I'm throwing out some good ideas and suggestions for you. But normally that's the focus on Valentine's Day. We here at Relationship Remedies for Us decided, let's look at the brothers. What are we doing to focus on our men? Because men are often overlooked, misunderstood, taken for granted, disrespected, and it really is time to flip the script. So let's start out by hearing what Angie Stone has to say about brothers.
He is my king, he is my one. Yes, he's my father, yes, he's my son. So I can talk to him, cause he understands everything I go through and everything I am. My support system, I can't live without him. The best thing since sliced bread is his kiss, his hug, his lips, his touch. And I just want the whole world to know about my black brother. I love you and I'll never try to hurt you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever too. Cause you're my black brother, strong brother, and there is no one above you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever too. He's misunderstood, some say that he's up to no good. Around the neighborhood, we'll fold your information. A lot of my brothers got education. Now check it, you got your Wall Street brother, your blue collar brother, you're down for wherever, chilling on the corner, brother. Talented brother, and to every one of y'all behind bars, you know that Angie loves ya. My
black brother, I
love you.
I'll never try to
no,
hurt
no, no, no.
Angie Stone. Nobody else can prevent the brothers like Angie Stone. You know, if you've been listening to the Relationship Remedies for a extended period of time, then you know that my co-host is one of my favorite brothers in the whole wide world. And just as Angie talked about, you know, someone you can talk to, he understands, he supports, all of that is who Hank Stewart is. So welcome, Hank. Thank you so much for joining us this evening and being my co-host, as you are every month.
I'm so glad you decided to give brothers some respect this month. I'm so glad.
I give brothers respect every month. I give brothers respect every month.
I am so glad.
About?
I don't know what happened over the between last month and this month, but I'm so glad. Whatever happens, it needs to happen next month too.
Every month. However, let's be clear now.
See what I'm talking
y'all
about? Gotta,
y'all,
I know
y'all
what's
do,
coming.
Y'all
I know
have
what's
to
coming.
Maintain. You have to earn it and maintain it. I just don't be giving out props and respect for no apparent reason. Come on now.
Something happened. You even playing Angie Stone for us now. So something happened in last month and this month.
Now, okay, I'm going to come completely clean, and I'm going to let everybody know that 15 minutes ago I was tripping because I was like, okay, I haven't heard from Hank. I know he's got a show out in L.A. He's out doing his thing, and I'm so happy for him. But I haven't heard to know if he's actually going to be able to make it for tonight's show. So I was freaking out. I was like, where is Hank? I've been trying to reach him, and I should have known. So I stand corrected because you have never failed me. And as I said, you understand, you're supportive, you're all that good stuff. So I appreciate you. I'm appreciating you this month. Write it down. I'm appreciating you.
Coco, make sure you record this because I'm sure by the end of the show she's going to be saying something quite different.
Well, if you don't say nothing stupid, good. I'll be all right. I mean, just don't say nothing stupid. That's
wait, well, we know I'm going to say something stupid, so let's go and just write that on off right now. I'll take that one. Thank
right.
you. I look forward to you know, I look forward to this every. I'm sorry, you know, I'm on that 3-hour difference, so it kind of threw me. But I wanted to make sure I was on time. So thank you for
appreciate
always.
It.
You know, thank you for all everything that you do, Linda. Because Dr. Orange, you know, Dr. Linda, you're just incredible. I mean, you my sweetie. I promise you, you my sweetie outside the month of February.
Aw, that's so special. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. We do. We've got a long history, and it's a good one, and so we'll just keep that going. But listen, we're going to talk tonight about how do you love a black man? And I think that is so relevant. And even though we're putting the black in there, certainly what we talk about will apply to most men everywhere. I just happen to have a special affinity for black men, and I do believe that there probably are some nuances to how you treat a brother versus how you treat somebody else. So all comments and opinions are welcome. If you want to get in on this conversation, you can reach us at 347-637-2319. I'll give that to you again, 347-637-2319. Or you can always send an email to CocoExpressShow@gmail.com. So, hey, I went back to the books on this one. You know, back in the late 90s, Dr. Ron Elmore wrote a book, How to Love a Black Man. He also did one on How to Love a Black Woman, but he wrote How to Love a Black Man. So I went back to the book on this one, and I looked at some of the stuff that he said, and so I want to run some of this by you. Now, he said, beyond hope, high standards, and way beyond reality dwells a mythological figure, the ideal black man. He is absolute perfection personified. No woman has actually seen him, though some women thought they had, only to discover that they have been sadly mistaken. And so the way he describes him, he says, women will sometimes idealize the black man and say he's incredibly fine, but totally unaware of it. He's built like Adonis, but never stuck at the gym. He's sensitive and gentle, but not too gentle, not a wimp. He's completely honest, but won't tell me anything that hurts. He's totally unselfish, but remarkably independent, doesn't need anybody. He's financially secure, but doesn't have to invest time in staying that way. He's intelligent and well-educated, but never acts proper. He's sexually dynamic, but only in the mood when I am. He's highly spiritual, but keeps his God in his place. He's articulate, even eloquent, but sounds black, never white. He's able to solve every problem, but not a know-it-all. And he's completely dependable, never disappoints, but not predictable. So, Ashley, before you chime in, let me go to Aurelia. What do you think about that list? Do you know women who idealize men and believe that there's somebody out there who can fit this criteria?
Yeah, Denzel.
Denzel with that ideal black. Let me go down there. Yeah, Denzel probably, he checks off. Yes. So Ron might have been wrong. There is an ideal black man out there. Somebody just grabbed him before we got to him. But, you know, it's so real that many times women have in their heads who this guy is. And so that's who they're looking for. And no matter what, nobody else is ever going to measure up. And so every time they meet a good brother, he doesn't make the cut because you can't check all the boxes when it comes to this ideal black man. Anything less is a disappointment. Now, present company notwithstanding, you know, we're going to bring Doug on in a minute. We got Hank on the line. We're not saying that y'all don't check all the boxes. But that's sort of what. So Hank, tell me. I know you got something to say. What do you think about that list?
Well, you know, I don't think anybody's going to ever check off on all of the items. And I think the flip side is if there was a list, I'm sure if there was a compatible list for females, there would not be a sister that. I think you have to make sure you get your deal breakers there.
Yeah.
And whatever your deal breakers are the ones that you won't compromise. But none of us are going to be all of those things, you know. And if you are, how long can you maintain all of those things?
Exactly.
You know, that's another element to it. I believe if I'm the right person, all of those items that you read, Doc, I will measure up on them because I'm the right person. You know, I believe, you know, the wrong man can't do nothing right and the right man can't do nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm the right man, you know, those things, in some cases, some of them might not be as important because you see me as the right person.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I stated your issue, but.
Well, no. I mean, you got there, and I think that they're all kind of relative, I mean, to your point. So, like, say, sensitive and gentle. What my measure of sensitive and gentle might be could be totally different than what Aurelia needs in terms of being sensitive and gentle. And so if you're the right one for me, then that means you meet my need with respect to being sensitive and gentle and those kinds of things. And, you know, incredibly fine. I mean, that's in the eyes of the beholder. So, again, somebody that one woman might pick, I might not be attracted to, but my man is going to be incredibly fine in my eyes. And so I think one of the things that women need to do, if we truly are going to love a black man, you have to level set and stop looking for this fantasy, but first understand who you are as a woman and what you need and what kind of brother it's going to take to meet that need. And then once you get that good fit, then you can begin to go down some of these other lists with respect to how do you love a black man.
I totally agree, and I just don't think everybody's going to add up. But I think, again, the wrong man can't do nothing right, and the right man can't do anything wrong will give you the majority of those things. You know, because I might, you know, if I'm the wrong person today, you know, sometimes things change. You know, I was all those things.
Yeah, you know, I was going to bring that up. You've been the right man who could do nothing wrong, and you've been the wrong man who could do nothing right at
exactly
different points
right
in my life, you know. So,
I don't know. I just need to know where I am today.
I don't know where you are today yet either.
Yeah, okay, because, you know, it usually changes even in the – it also changes in the show, too. By the end of the show, I could have been the right man. At the beginning, at the end, I can't be no right. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you were the right man when you got on the line because, like I said, I was like, dang, is he going to make it or is he not? So just don't say nothing stupid. You'll be all right. So let me ask you a couple questions here. We had some friends on Facebook. And when put the question to them, one woman said, in response to how do you love a black man, she said, honor and respect him. And she said, if you're married, you make sure your home is a safe sanctuary, free of all the strife and abuse he received, laboring and providing for his family. So she said, honor and respect him. What does that look and feel like for you? How do you know when a woman is honoring and respecting you?
I think it's real simple. I think it's the small things. I mean, it's with her girlfriends. It's not a whole lot of bashing. I think, you know, it's the little things, like when you go to a party, you know, how she holds on to you or wants to fix your plate, and how, you know, when, and I think from the flip side of it is how I open the door and pull out your chair. I think it's a small thing. When people, you know, I think we can wrap a lot of this stuff into money and providing a big house and giving you a fancy car, but that could, you can have all those things and people can still disrespect you by not treating you with respect in public, you know, and behind closed doors, not using abusive language towards you. I think, to me, that's respect.
Yeah, I agree. I know one of the things that I read said something about find something about him to believe in every day. And I think that is so important. You know, we already said nobody's perfect, so don't look for the perfection. But find something about him that you can believe in every day. Because I think everybody, but particularly men, I think like to have that stroking going on. They like to know that my woman is behind me. She believes in me no matter what. And I think it's important for us to do that. And I think women, you know, we will show love in proportion to how much belief we have in you. And so many times when a woman is not very expressive with her love, there's an underlying root somewhere of she's not honoring him, she's not respecting him, she's not believing in him, and as a result of that, she's not able to fully love him. So there's just a lot of stuff going on. But I want to make sure we get our guests into this conversation. So tonight we have the pleasure of being joined by Mr. Doug Minter. Doug is an executive with the Knoxville Chamber of Commerce. He's also a speaker, a writer, a mentor, a friend. The list can go on and on and on. So, Doug, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. It is definitely an honor and a privilege to be the backup man to Hank, you know. And see, Hank, I got to edify you, my brother, because before she gave you all those glowing and well-deserved comments, she was frantically calling me as the backup man. So I don't know what that means, but I honor my role as the backup man, and it's an honor to be here.
See,
oh, man.
Now, see, Hank understands that every man can only be the backup man to him. We've got that established, so that's
mm-hmm.
good. That's good.
You clean that up well, Dr.
I know that's not what you said. Send me the text, because I know she was calling me some other names in the text messages
man.
She sent you.
I'll delete.
Tell us, Doug, a little bit about you. I gave just a quick overview, but tell us a little bit about you and what you do, and then I'm going to put you on the hot seat, give you a chance to tell us a little bit about how to love a black man.
Well, I just consider myself a world citizen. I love to learn, and my grandfather and my father just taught me to love. And I was born on Valentine's Day, so, you know, I get it honest. So, I think it's so important for us to edify other people, to have fun, to be enthusiastic about sharing love as much as you possibly can, to break your neck, to sacrifice to show other people love, because that's what we need. It's simple. It may be cliche, but I truly believe it. It's in my DNA, and I think that's so important. We need that, especially with all the things that are going on in this world. I think you have to constantly give love. I really appreciate it. It's kind of funny. I was listening to the Angie Stone song, and it made me feel good because very few songs, most of the songs that are out there bashing me, and you cheated
mm-hmm.
on me, you broke my heart, you did this. Okay, but what did I do that was good? You know,
right.
Show me my quality. Show me something good. Show me something positive. And I challenge people to be positive and look at the positive spin on things.
Yeah, I appreciate that because I agree with you. I think we do spend a fair amount of time bashing. It goes both ways, but because women talk more and women talk about relationships more, I think more often you hear women doing the bashing towards men. And so we ought to take the time to admonish our men in this way, raise them up and admire them on an ongoing basis. But certainly we can take some time out during this month of love and do that. And so it's all good in that respect. Let me ask you guys a couple of questions. I want to know, so you know that relationships can be very volatile. And from your perspectives, what are some of the things that women do that you think men in general find as turnoffs? What are some of the turnoffs?
I think gossip. Conversation rules
gossip.
The nation.
There you go. There you go. Go ahead.
Conversation
that's it.
Rules
gossip.
The nation. Conversation rules the nation. And I learned that from a black woman a long time ago. And that conversation has to be directed towards moving the relationship or the love or the friendship forward. It should never be about now. Mm. I truly believe that the past, and I got this from Dr. Wayne Dyer, anybody that wants to learn about how to really love holistically needs to be a student of Dr. Wayne Dyer. He is amazing. And he teaches about the shift, of shifting your thought process and your psyche towards love, towards the love that's in you and the Creator. And I really believe that we have to get to a point where our conversation is edifying. Even when it's negative, it should be edifying.
Yeah.
And if you're not having a conversation that at the end of the day is edifying towards both of you, even if it's on a tough topic, then all you're doing is bashing or venting. It's negative. So try to have a positive stance. What did we learn from this conversation today? What did we learn? Because the gossip, man, I really don't understand gossip. Because all that is a distraction about yourself. If you gossiping about someone else, then obviously you're not doing what you need to do because you're trying to elevate yourself with negativity. That's what gossip is. I'm trying to elevate myself through the negativity of someone else's situation. You can't elevate yourself with negativity. That's insanity.
Yeah, I like that. And it's so true, and there is so much gossip that goes on, and that's where all the bashing and everything else comes in. And you're right, you know, it's an attempt to elevate self, so that's good. Hank, what's a turnoff for you? Oh, Lord, let me buckle up. I just imagine what you're about to say. Okay, go ahead. I'm ready.
I think Hank had to sign off.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
He had to leave us?
Okay. Yeah, he had to leave us.
All right. Maybe he'll jump back on. All right, so that's good. So we got some turnoffs, and I agree. Conversation, I wrote that one down too. Conversation rules the nation. I think that is good. I definitely agree that we need to always be moving forward, and I think we've gotten to a point in all kinds of relationships, not just romantic relationships, where there's not enough of that going on, not enough edifying. I see it in the homes when I'm doing coaching with couples. I see it in at the workplace. You can see it sometimes even in church relationships. You know, there's not enough edifying. There are people backbiting, whether it's about other church members or the pastor or whomever it might be. And so that is a good one to keep in mind. I had a friend that I asked to chime in, and he sent me a text. He said, a black man wants to be loved, but needs, and he put needs in all caps, needs to be respected, appreciated for things he doesn't even think about, but that he willingly provides as a man. I like that. And he also said his responsibility is to guide, guard, and humbly govern. And so I think so much of the time we do get hung up on what some of the differences between loving and respecting and honoring, that kind of thing. And even when you think about biblically, you know, scripture even tells you that a man is to love his wife, but a woman is to respect her husband. And so the fact that this friend put it in caps that the man needs to be respected is something we need to think about. So if you're listening, women, please hear what they're saying. And if you've got a comment, the number to call is 347-637-2319. So, Doug, here are a couple of things that I think are right up your alley, because I know you're working on a project that I want you to share with us. But a couple of the things that Elmore mentioned is he said that in terms of how to love a black man, demand respect and model self-respect. And he also said for women, never be too easy to get. And so I know just the conversation that you and I have had that you have taken on a project with respect to teaching women how to present themselves to men. And so I don't think that takes the focus off of what we're talking about, because if you're going to love a black man, you need to know how to come correct to that black man. So tell us a little bit about that project and some of the things that you're helping women to understand when it comes to presenting themselves.
Yeah, we have a philosophy that is basically around three words. You are quality. You are quality. And it's a kind of an interesting thing, but we want to teach young women, and this applies to any woman, but we're trying to teach young women, you are quality. So if you know that you are every single thing that you need, everything that you need is inside you. All you have to do is be that, and how to express yourself in ways that are going to attract the kind of people that you need. I know that you've probably heard the term that blood seeks out blood.
Mm.
You know, like-minded people gravitate towards like-minded people.
Yeah.
So if you are attracting the wrong types of people in your life, the wrong types of brothers, the wrong types of men, then you got to stop that. You got
to
stop.
Okay, now stay right there for a minute, because we need to stay on that point for a moment, because lots of times, whether I'm doing seminars or coaching or whatever I might be doing with women, so often that's where a lot of the bashing and stuff comes in. Women will put down brothers for behavior and attitudes and all types of things, and I think they miss the point that you just made. Like attracts like. Water seeks its own level. All of those little cliches are true, and many times what you're getting is in direct response to the vibe that you're putting out. So say a little bit more about that.
It's definitely true. For instance, you know, I'm going to get in trouble for this one, but, hey, it is what it is. I'm not a weave kind of person. I want women to be their authentic self.
Yeah.
Whether you are, you know, you have fine hair, kinky hair, whatever that may be your authentic self. The further you get away from your authentic self, the less you are going to attract the authentic person that matches your authentic self.
Mm.
Now,
that's
basic. Now, I'm not against, now, you know, I understand in the summertime you might want to get your braids, and it's easier to deal with in the hot sun, and you want to swim and all that. That's cool. But as a general rule, you want to be your authentic self, not just
your hair
doesn't make or break you. Okay.
Right, that's what I was going to say. I hear you on the hair and stuff like that, and I think that most women who are secure in who they are and confident in who they are can pull off little bits and pieces, like you said. So maybe you can rock a certain style for a while. Maybe you can deal with the fake eyelashes. Maybe there are pieces that you can do as long as you know that they are enhancing you and not defining you, and as long as you don't have everything fake and false from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. If you're not trying to be someone other than who you are, but just maybe, you know, rocking a style for a little bit. So I think I just wanted to emphasize that, because I don't want women to hear that as, oh, so you're saying I can't dye my hair or I can't. No, that's not what's being said. What's being said is just don't lose yourself in some
right.
of the images that the styles and things will have you to wear. So,
right, and then the same goes true for church, for where you go, the places you go to. They should match with you, who you are and who your authentic person is, because that's
mm-hmm.
what men are looking for. We're looking for authenticity.
Yeah.
We're not looking for anything that's not real.
Okay.
We really aren't. I don't hear brother saying, man, I'm looking for the girl with the most silicone. I'm looking for a girl with the fake this. I'm looking for the girl with the fake car note. I mean, we're not looking for that. We're looking for a sister that is what she is, because men are attracted to just real beauty. You know, I challenged brothers. I said, you know, I had an opportunity to go to Toronto, Canada. And there you got multiple nations of women from every corner of the globe. I don't know that I ever saw the fakeness. You know, very little makeup. Makeup there is not vogue. Not that they don't use it, but it's just not the first thing that you see. And you saw you saw women from every nation in their authentic beauty. And it was so refreshing. It was so refreshing.
That's good. That's really good. We had a comment, Facebook comment from Diane, who spoke to a black male friend of hers, and he said, I need a lady who will be truthful with me but have compassion and kindness towards me. And I just thought about that, because part of the truthfulness is being authentic. You have to be authentic in order to be truthful in that regard. But then it goes a step further, because telling men the truth is important, you know, not trying to lie, not trying to be deceptive. And that's what we're saying, you know, be you. And if there's something about you that you're not proud of, don't try to hide that thing. Eventually, everything that happens in the dark comes into the light. He's going to know about it. So why not just be upfront about it? And if it's something that's a turnoff for him, then okay, better to find out early and keep it moving. And so that's one side of the truthfulness. The other side is to truly express to him things that he's doing well, things that maybe you don't like or wish he would do differently, but do it with compassion and kindness, because so much of the time we might get caught up in how we say things that it comes across cutting him instead of correcting him, helping him, uplifting him, that sort of thing. So I thought that was a good quote from Diane's friend. You know, I need a lady who will be truthful with me but have compassion and kindness towards me.
Here's one of the difficulties when you say things like that. You know, treat your man with respect, treat your man with kindness, and edify him and respect him. We've heard those things. The difficulty becomes, what does that look like in a specific tactic?
And that's where the conversation comes in.
That's where you have to be self-aware.
Yeah,
it's not
do.
So much learning about the other person's ways or learning how to talk to the other person. It's really about being totally self-aware to the point that, hey, when it gets late at night or I've had a long day, sometimes I get cranky, you know. And if a woman can say, you know what, this is what's going to happen when I'm cranky. Don't tell me all the – don't be great at being so respectful that you don't tell me the bad side of you.
Right.
Speak to me directly about, you know what, when I say these things or when I look this way, it's because I'm cranky, I'm tired. We just want to understand why. We're okay with you being mean. We're okay with you having a bad day. We're okay with crankiness. It's when you don't explain it. It's when you don't tell the brother, look, this is how I am and this is how I'm going to react to things. This is just who I am today. I will try to be better, but this is who I am. And those specific nuggets really help a brother understand, because a lot of times, you know, women are emotional vessels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think we explain things enough. You know, I heard all my life, you know, women are the lesser vessel. Well, that's in the Bible. What does that mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you're less. It just means that the DNA of your body has different weak points than the DNA of a man. And the DNA of a man has different weak points than that of a woman. All that means is the vessel is different. That means you have hormonal issues and emotional things that we don't deal with, not in the way that you deal with them. And sometimes we think of that as weakness, and it's not. It means you are ever as strong, if not stronger, than a man. I truly believe that any woman that gives that a woman can give can make a child and go through childbirth.
Okay.
I don't know too many brothers trying to deal with that, bro.
So, I want to see it just to see how y'all deal with it. But
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of businesses.
I don't know that I'm trying to push and breed and all. No, I'm a
there's,
tap
there's
out.
A lot of
I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm
saying.
A tap out. And I'm gonna
Look,
do what
I tried,
you read. I'm
I tried
tell
that
you
on my first one.
Out.
I tried to tap out. It didn't work. It didn't work. But I want to go back to some of what you were saying though, because when you talk about what does that look like, it looks different for different people. And that made
yes,
me think of the work that Chapman did on the five love languages. And I think there's lots of truth in
yes.
that, too. So when you know, real quickly, they are words of affirmation, which basically
yep.
means encouraging, uplifting, telling people things. You know, don't show me, but say it. I need to hear it. Another love language is quality time. So we were talking about conversation. That means when you're spending time with me, I want your undivided attention. It's different than sitting on the couch together watching television. No, it's turning the television off and let's have a conversation. That's how you find out what somebody likes and doesn't like and what are their hot buttons. That's when you have the conversation. It means when we're in the restaurant, don't pull out your phone and be checking the scores or checking Facebook but look at me across the table and have conversations. So that's quality time. Another one is receiving gifts. There are some people who don't feel loved unless you're giving them something. And it might be something store bought, but it could also be something that you made. It might be the gift of yourself. I mean, there are different things, but there are some people who like to receive. A fourth one then would be acts of service, and that's doing things that you know would please that person. So even though it might not be something that you would want to do or that you enjoy, you do it for the joy of the other person. It might be things like getting up extra early to cook his breakfast in the morning before he goes to work, or fixing his plate for him, or, you know, if Hank was still on the call, one of Hank's pet peeves that we're always talking about is Hank, when he opens the car door for a woman and then he walks around to his side, he loves it if that woman leans over in the car to at least attempt to open the door from the inside for him. And I wish he would tear because I give him grief over that all the time. But that's an act of service, so that's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
the last one is physical touch. And so physical touch doesn't mean let's just have sex. Physical touch could be holding hands. It could be just that little peck on the cheek as you pass by me. It might be, you know, giving me a massage or a neck rub, those kinds of things. So it's important to know if that brother that you're trying to love, if his language is words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, or physical touch. Because for the most part, we love people out of who we are, not out of who they are. So whatever my love language is, I love that way, but that may not necessarily be what the other person needs to receive in order to feel loved also. So, yeah, what you were talking about there was real good, and it just reminded me of all the love language stuff. That's a wonderful book, and I think it would serve couples well to get a hold of it and find out what each other's love language are so you could start loving people the right way. Because, you know, again, I talk about how relationships fail primarily for one of two reasons. Either you're loving the wrong person or you're loving the right person the wrong way. So if you've got the right person and it's not flowing the way it should, chances are you could be loving that person the wrong way.
Important there is because the acts of service and physical touch, those are my love languages. Those are my primary love languages. And I think when you're dating, you have to be very self-aware, and you have to communicate that to the other person and be inquisitive about what's your love language.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think most people don't know what their language
guess
is.
Guess what? When you go out and buy a car, guess what? The finance company know your love language. They know your credit. They know your address. They know
every kind of language.
And we don't spend the 20. And you can download the Love Languages app for free and take the quiz.
Yeah.
And we don't do those things. And those, so those are really, I think that is a beautiful thing to do. And it to me, that's a main filter. That I have
really
to know
is.
what a person's love language is if I'm going to deal with them. It's critically important.
Aurelia, you have any comments for us? Anything that any listeners have emailed in or called in and shared with you that you need to share?
Okay. I have somebody who wants to dial in right now, and I'm going to get him on the line as well. But he and his wife were having this conversation as well, and he basically wants to say that he wishes that he heard it more often, that he gets to, he doesn't feel that he was ever appreciated enough. Yeah, he said, I feel like I have never quite received the props, love, appreciation that I should have. Okay, and I'm going to try to dial him in and see if I can get him to join us. So if you hear noise in the background and stuff like that, that's just me trying to get him.
Okay. You know, and I would hear that a lot when I would counsel couples or do some coaching with couples. Many times people feel unappreciated. And again, some of it goes back to the love language thing, but then sometimes we allow ourselves to get so busy with our routines that we neglect those who are closest to us. And so you fall into that trap of, oh, well, he knows I love him, so I don't have to say or do that anymore. And that's wrong. You need to realize that if you're not saying it and doing it and he needs it, somebody else may come along and say it and do it for him. And so always show the props, the love, the respect, and don't allow other things to become so important that they steal the time that you would normally be spending with that other person.
They call that, I think, where people should sit, where you should emotionally feel is an uncomfortable comfortability. You should be somewhat uncomfortable all the time.
Yeah.
And that uncomfortability should express itself in appreciation. You should always be like, hey, you know, I was really busy today, but understand all day long I've been trying to send you a text to tell you I love you, or you have been on my mind, I meditated on you, I was praying for you. You know, let someone know constantly how you feel.
Exactly.
And speak to their love language.
Exactly.
You
should be in love with the person you love for your whole life.
Yeah. My uncle was a great example of this. Before my aunt passed away for 40-something years, every Thursday he would give her fresh-cut flowers.
Wow.
And I don't
That's
care
nice.
If he was out of town. I don't care what happened. He would send somebody else in the family and say, go down to the florist. I got an account over there, and go pick up the flowers.
That's nice. And it gave her something to look forward to every Thursday. Yeah.
Every
That's
Thursday.
A good thing. And I think a lot of those little rituals have been lost, you know. Even if you have to put it in your phone on your calendar to remind yourself, you don't have to let the other person know that's what you're doing, but do whatever it takes to sit, to get those reminders so that you constantly show the same love, because whatever it took to get them is what it's going to take to keep them. Don't start giving that stuff up. So
you pay that utility bill at the first of the month. Why can't you get a fresh cut flowers?
Yeah.
Or why can't you, you know, do that extra thing you do for your man?
Right.
You know, every Wednesday.
So I think we have a caller on the line. Vince, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Vince, welcome to the show.
What's going on, bro?
Hey. Well, how you doing? I'm all right.
Good. What's your question or your comment for us?
Oh, I don't have anything. I'm just listening, just kind of trying to dial in, kind of enjoy what's going on.
Okay.
Here.
Good. Well, if we get off point, you let us know and kind of steer us back where we need to be. But we appreciate you listening and hanging out with us tonight. I'm going to shift gears just a little bit because there's a song that I want Aurelia to play, Where I Want to Be by Donnell Jones. And the reason I want her to play that one is I think if you listen, the brother will tell you what he needs. I think when a man settles down and decides, I want to spend the rest of my life with that woman, he believes that, and he's sincere, so don't let anything mess it up. Don't make him have to guess what you want. Tell him what you want. Don't make him have to express all the time what he needs. Learn what he needs and give him what he needs. So I want us to just listen to Donnell Jones as he sings Where I Want to Be.
Baby girl, a message, and I become and a decision that's so hard. Do I leave? Do I stay? Do I go? Think about my life, the one that matters to me the most. Girl, the love that we share is real, but in time your heart will heal. I'm not saying I'm gone, but I have to find what life is like without you.
I love that song. I mean, it's just so sincere. He just poured out his heart. And I love what he talks about, how he has lots of love inside of him. And I think that is so true. Black men are so loving. You just have to find the right man and learn how to tap into it, because I think it doesn't come easily for all of them to express love. But when they find a woman that they're so comfortable with, they just pour out the love, and it's just endless. And one of our Facebook friends, Melanie, in answer to the question of how do you love a black man, said, be his soft place to fall. And that, to me, is just absolutely beautiful. Yeah, I love that. And I think, yeah, that's
because
what
black
I think y'all are looking
at
for.
At the end of the day, I think men, period, especially black men, with what we face in this country, we don't want you to take our kindness for weakness.
Yeah.
You know, we want to be able to cry, express all those emotions that you want, the sensitivity that you want, but you do have to be that safe place. You got to be our haven. You got to be that one. And it has to be sacred. So when I lay my soul down and I lay everything that I have down, I know that that's not being put out in the street, that's sacred. You protect it. Men want to be protected just like women do. And I think men, we spend so much time physically and financially protecting our families and our women that they sometimes they forget to protect us, to protect our spirits.
Mm.
And it's not about the ego. It's not about supporting his ego. It's about supporting his spirit.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing, and I think you are so right. And I've learned that once you break that for a man, you may never get it back again. And not only will you probably never get it back, but it's going to take a while before any woman who comes after you is able to get to that sweet spot in him again. Because once he bears his soul like that and it's been wounded, it goes into a deep, dark place and it may never come out again. So we as women have a lot of responsibility in that area. It's up to us to, as you say, protect that, nurture it, but protect it at the same time. And it's kind of hard to do because it's It's hidden, and you can't really get to it, but you got to nurture it, even though you can't really get to it, and you have to protect it. And I think particularly women who are mothers of sons have to start early conditioning sons to know what to expect and how to respond. And pieces of information that our producer Aurelia found for us was there are 4 C's on how to love a black man, and they are be his cheerleader, his conditioner, his co-pastor, and his conspirator. And I thought those were all very appropriate and very fitting with respect to what we're talking about. So we're almost out of time. We have about 9 minutes left. So you still have a chance to get in on the conversation. The number to call is area code 347-637-2139. Good conversation, though. I'm enjoying all of this. We have another listener comment. I think the best way to love a black man is to date men of different races. Now, that's interesting. I'd love to be able to talk to that listener and get a little bit more on that. I do think if you date men of different races, you can probably learn a lot by comparison, and you probably get a different appreciation for the black man if you do make some comparisons. I'm not sure that comparison is a good thing, that we should be comparing, but I think it's an interesting quote. So, listener, if you're on, if you'd like to expand on that a little bit, you don't have to tell us your real name. That's the beauty of being on radio. You can be anybody you want to be. But if you're on with us, I'd love to hear a little bit more about what you mean by that comment. The comment, again, was, I think the best way to love a black man is to date men of different races. Do you have any thoughts on that, Doug?
Well, I don't know that, you know, to me, I think there's a core piece that's a part of all men. I think, you know, there's the popular notion that women are like spaghetti and men are like waffles.
I haven't heard that one before. Tell me that one.
Oh, yeah. See, spaghetti, all the stuff is just mixed in together and makes for a beautiful meal. Whereas men are like waffles, we compartmentalize things. We tend to deal with things one at a time. We don't carry 18 emotions all at once and are able to deal with them. We can generally only tackle one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. But we're very good at tackling that one thing. Whereas women can go from happy to sad, from politics to religion and bounce back and forth. Men tend to deal with things one at a time. And so that, when women hit us with a variety of emotions or a variety of questions or you berate a man over an issue, we tend to shut down because we can only deal with so much at a time.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you add in culture, you put culture in on top of that, and that becomes, you know, another layer that you have to understand and understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
So I think the base layer is that multitask. You know, women can generally multitask better than men. I asked a lady at work, I said, can you think about your job, your kids, your husband, and be playing Words for Friends on the phone all at the same time with no problem? They're like, sure. A man can't do that. Men typically cannot do that. I can do one thing at a time, and that's it. So you have to be patient. That's where patience, women have to give men some patience and tolerance because we can only deal with so much at one given time.
Yeah, and it goes back to one of the earlier comments, too, about the fact that when you're a woman who's trying to love a black man or a man of any race, but when you're a woman trying to love a black man, since that's the topic of this show, you have to expect that black men are going to be very different from the women who love them. And so you have to take into consideration that uniqueness and that individuality. Yes, it certainly is true that when you look at DNA, over 90% of the DNA across all races is the same. And so as people, we are more alike than we are different. But there are cultural nuances and the ways we're socialized and the experiences that we go through and just a host of things differentiate our experience, and you have to take all of that into consideration. So we're not trying to separate black men out. We're not trying to be racist in any way. But because I have
Excuse me, doctor?
For black men, Yes, ma'am.
I have Dejanay on the line. She's the woman with the comment about dating men of different races.
Oh, cool. Yeah, and so, again, let me just finish that thought. Thank you. And so we're not trying to separate folks out, but just understanding that's the group that we know best, so we stick with what we know. All right, thank you so much. So help us. I like that comment that you made, but help us to understand a little bit more about what you meant by that.
Yes, hi, good evening.
Good evening.
I was listening to the conversation, and I agree with some of what you said. I thought a lot of it was really on point. But from my own experience, I just feel that variety is the spice of life. So that's pretty much what I mean when I say how to love a black man is to date men of other races as well. Because I don't think we should limit ourselves. Love is not just within our black community or within our black race. I think that we can find love outside of our race as well as with a black man. But how will we know unless we venture out?
I agree with that. I do think you can find love in other races. But then also going back to our earlier conversation about authenticity, I think you have to know yourself. And so just as there are black women who only date black men, there are black women who only date white men. I mean, you have to know yourself and not date someone just because, but you have to date them because that's who you have a natural attraction to. So at the same time that we don't want to close ourselves off, we don't want to force ourselves to do anything that's inauthentic either. But I think if you are open to dating people of different races, then by all means, I think you should, because, you know, the heart has no color. And so wherever you find love, you need to go ahead and grab it. And so I'm just curious, so in terms of dating men of different races, did you learn anything in particular about black men as a result of that experience?
Well, actually, I did. I've learned that black men, they are faced with very special challenges. Men in general are, but just to piggyback a little bit on what you said about boys as they grow into men, unless they are nurtured early in life, and I do mean nurtured by men and women, there can be a kind of detachment in some men, and I think that is something that we could take a look at in the future, you know, just to see how young men are socialized in our society, and which leads to how they love the black woman. I hope that makes sense. I just think that there's something that goes on within our culture that is not necessarily the same in other cultures. And that's what I learned about the black man, is that when in dating other cultures of men, they don't see it the same way. You know, they don't look at us in the same way at times as our own do. And the experiences can be very different, enlightening and broad.
Very good. Thank you so much for your comments. And thanks to everyone that commented, whether on Facebook or you called in or email, texted, whatever you did. I'm so glad that people are listening. If you like what you hear, please tell other people about it. We're here the first Wednesday of every month, 8 o'clock Eastern time. And so hang out with us. Send us some questions, comments. Let us know what you want to talk about, and we'd love to do that for you. In closing, because we are out of time, just want to share with you some comments from, again, the book by Dr. Ron Elmore, How to Love a Black Man. He says, the real deal black man gets much of his sense of self-worth from his performance. Skill, achievement, conquest, acquisition, and competency are key for him in virtually all areas of life, including relationships. He possesses a wide and varied range of emotions, many of which are not available for outward display, often afraid, angry, lonely, proud, or weary. He has survived repeated blows to his manhood, personally and historically. He's often more competent in showing his love than verbalizing it. He treasures his space, freedom and independence, which can appear to be selfish. He's violently resistant to real or perceived failure, and he's familiar with and expects severe losses. The real deal black man is made of flesh and bone, the remarkable and the regrettable. He alone has the potential of desiring and experiencing your love and lavishing his love upon you. So let me thank my guest, Doug. It's been a pleasure hanging out with you this past hour. Thank you so much.
It's been an honor to be with you.
Oh, man. Keep us posted. We'll have you back. We want to know how things are going with your You Are Quality project, and I'm sure you'll be putting pen to paper, so when the book comes out, let us know. We'll bring you back and talk about the book. And again, just to all of you who are listening, thank you so much for spending some time with us. It is my pleasure and my privilege to spend this time with you, because it is truly my desire to strengthen families by building better relationships. So thank you for allowing me into your life and into your relationship, and I hope you'll join me again next month. Check me out on Facebook. We'll let you know what the topic will be. I'm at Dr.-Linda Wiley. Thanks, peace, and blessings. Have a good night.
Thanks for tuning in, and come back for more Relationship Remedies with Dr. Linda and Hank. Because it's all about you, it's all about me, it's all about us.